All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
So, I like the theatrics with which you press that button.
Bam.
Boom.
Knocking it down.
So, you know what this week is?
What's that?
This is a double feature week.
Oh.
No extra charge for the extra movie review. David reviews Bad Boys for Life. Penn reviews The Assistant.
This is code for Penn didn't see Bad Boys for Life, but he saw The Assistant.
No, you know what, David? It's not always all about that.
Oh, it isn't?
No. Sometimes I just want to do a little more
go above
for our
beyond.
Listeners.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
It was such a big movie, and it didn't come out 4 weeks ago. All right. This week's news was weird.
There was a ton of it and none of it.
Yeah.
There was no news and tons of news.
Right. There was a lot of things that like weren't the type of stuff that we normally report on. Like so-and-so might be signed on for this or this movie might be being made. Like there was tons of news, but it wasn't necessarily what we would talk about.
Right.
And that made it kind of weird.
Yeah.
So in that in mind, I want to start off this week by saying Planet of the Apes. I'm a fan.
Huge fan.
Of the series.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked the last couple of movies. They thought maybe they were done. You know, Disney owns Fox now. There's rumors that there's a new Planet of the Apes coming out, and it might be just a reboot or whatever. Mm. Turns out Wes Ball, who directed The Maze Runner, he's going to be directing the next one. He says, don't worry. We're going to continue the Caesar legacy, so it'll be in-universe from the other movies. At least that's what he's saying right now. Who knows if that'll change, but to me, that's good news.
I think it's great news.
Yeah.
Do we have a date on this? Do we know? No.
I think this is one of those things they're still talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's all mixed up in the merger,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Fox-Disney merger.
That's right.
Some things got scrapped. Some things got kept.
Yes.
What's really happening, it's hard to say.
I completely forgot about the merger. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's great news.
Yeah.
Speaking of great news.
Even better news?
I'm not going to say better news.
Mm.
Maybe better news.
Maybe the best news.
Maybe the best news of the day.
Yeah.
That's what we should do. We should start identifying, like we have our trailer of the week. We should have our news story of the week.
The best news of the week.
I don't know what my best news story of the week would be, but this one's pretty good. Red Rose Film Festival, Volume 1, occurred last November,
right.
First weekend in November. Volume 2, I'm super excited because tomorrow night... Or maybe by the time you're listening to this, tonight.
Tomorrow.
The board is meeting last week to kick off planning for season 2. But what I want to say is our esteemed executive director and our esteemed, I don't know what his title is, but Ian Long, man, we're already back at it. And the second year of Red Rose Film Festival is going to be even better than the first year. Serious. Whoa. We're going to have another 5-week film series at Penn Cinema over the summer.
Nice.
To hype it up. And speaking of that, did we report here that Raising Buchanan, which was Best Picture in last year's Red Rose Film Festival, is coming to Penn Cinema Lititz?
Oh, no.
Yeah. To celebrate Buchanan's birthday.
Nice.
Yep. But we're going to have like a birthday party type of thing on the Thursday night, which is actually his birthday. And although I think he's since passed away, so I think it's more like a memorial of his birthday.
James Buchanan's not alive?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, the whole movie is based on people who steal his corpse. So that's what gives me the confidence.
Okay. All right.
That's why I'm pretty sure myself that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done.
Maybe.
He had his time. Anyway, but we're going to have a birthday party, but then we are going to play the film all week.
Nice.
And I have not yet started watching the features that are coming in for year 2. But Ryan and Ian have watched a handful of them, and they're pretty lit. It's going to be a good year.
You're going to have to get started, because last year you were like, that was your life.
Yeah.
For like months.
Yeah. It was awful.
You start early, it's not so bad.
Right. I shouldn't say it was awful.
No, it was just a lot.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Every week you were like, what'd we do and watch? And I was like, more Red Rose Films.
Right. Yeah, it consumed you. That's awesome, though.
And you were one of the watchers, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't watch Becoming Buchanan.
It was called Raising Buchanan. Which is, for those of you who might be avoiding it because you're not into like history.
Whose story?
If you're not his into story. His story. Oh, man, I should have had another coffee before we started. If you're not into like presidential like biopics and, you know, if you think that's not really your thing, this is not a biopic. This is not like, you know, it's not a history lesson by any stretch. This is a funny, sharp, well-made. I don't know. I don't think it's a full-on comedy. I've watched it at least twice, but I still. I mean, it's definitely funny, but it's got a heart and it's got point, you know. And anyway,
it stars one of the guys in it is Renee, whatever from Deep Space Nine, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Recently passed away.
Zellweger.
Yeah.
Right.
Renee Zellweger.
Anyway, Red Rose Film Festival season two is going to be great, and I can't wait to bring you more details about it. We've got some details already cooking. But I'm not at liberty to say.
Whoa.
Because they're not confirmed with the people who need to confirm them. So I'd like really screw up my chances of nailing it down if like so-and-so heard on the podcast that I was already saying that he or she was lined up.
I mean, most news places listen to our show first.
Right.
Before anything
That's
else.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right.
I know this was. You were really concerned about this.
Is this the same guy behind Blumhouse?
I think possibly.
Okay, go ahead.
Producer Jason Blum. He says, "Don't worry about the Halloween movies, Halloween Kills, and Halloween Ends, because they will not suffer from the Lord of the Rings problems." And I read this and I thought to myself, I was like, "I'm sorry, what? Lord of the Rings problems? One of the almost perfect trilogies ever? What kind of problems are we talking about?" So I had to read the whole article. I couldn't just go off.
And it is the same guy.
Okay. All right.
Which we need to come back to.
Okay.
Okay.
So turns out the problems with Lord of the Rings was that every movie didn't feel like a finished story because it was a three film story. So don't worry. The Halloween movies, even though they're sequels and they flow together, they'll feel like complete stories. I didn't know that was a problem, first off. Secondly, I didn't know anyone cared about Halloween this much. But apparently, it's a big deal. So what do you got about Jason?
All right, I had one thing.
Yeah.
But now that I hear your talk, I got two.
Oh my gosh.
All right. My first thing is kudos to Jason Blum because he's got this incredibly shitty picture taking up space, but he somehow managed to quick say something more interesting so that people will talk about, and here's my second point, so that people will talk about the balls on this guy to invoke the Lord of the Rings in the same sentence as his
Halloween trilogy
over here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so first of all, good job, you know, because now we're sitting here talking about something else besides Fantasy Island. And by the way, how do you feel now about having your name in the title of that movie? Yeah,
presenting.
Right. You still happy with that choice, JJ?
They're going to split this one like they did, or switch it like they did Birds of Prey?
Birds of Prey, yeah. It's now going to be called Somebody Made
Fantasy Island.
May or may not have been us. I don't know anything about it.
We just happen to have it.
Or as my father-in-law would say, I don't know. All right, so first of all, kudos to you for, you know, the old bait and switch, diverting our attention to something even more ridiculous than your current debacle. But second of all, here's a phrase that we used to use. The old men in Brooklyn used it a lot. I'm not going to say we used it as kids because we didn't. But I heard old guys in Brooklyn say this. The chutzpah. The chutzpah on this guy to you know, like, all right, you know, come on. That's just ridiculous. Nobody was thinking about Lord of the Rings when they were talking about how are these Halloween movies going
to
do.
How's this trilogy going to add up? Right. I don't know if it compares to Lord of the Rings. I hope it doesn't suffer from the same problems that one did.
Right. You know, like if you're making a new Avengers movie, you can compare yourself to a Star Wars thing. Or if you're making a DC comic book movie, you can compare yourself to Captain America. Or like, like these are movies. I'm not trying to say which is better, but they're all, in my opinion, in the same league, right? And this is a guy who's playing wiffle ball in the backyard, you know, comparing himself to Major League Baseball, which the state of Major League Baseball nowadays, maybe that's a fair comparison, but I digress.
I don't know sports, but I know that's funny.
I don't know sports, but I know that's funny. Hands on hip. Oh, it's perfect. Classic.
Hey, look, talking about chutzpah.
All right, wait a minute. This next news, I don't know. Are you going in order?
I'm skipping ahead for this.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Okay. Talk about chutzpah. Oh, right.
Because you were talking about people comparing things.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt was on the Ellen Show. And he's like, hey, guys, like, Jurassic Park 3, Jurassic World 3, it's basically Avengers Endgame. It's just like it.
How does that sit with you, David?
I mean, what? I like the first Jurassic World. I think most people didn't like the second one.
You know what I'd like? I would like to picture you coming home every day, making yourself a cup of tea, and watching the Ellen Show.
Oh.
And then you're sitting there enjoying your tea, maybe with a scone, maybe with a biscuit, like an English biscuit. You're sitting there with your scone and your pinky and your cup of tea. And all of a sudden, here comes Chris Pratt.
I'm like, and you're thinking to yourself,
oh, this is great. I love this guy. And you take a nice sip of your Earl Grey. And he says this about Jurassic World and Avengers. And you spit it out like at the TV and then throw your teacup. And then, not satisfied, you take the saucer and throw that at the TV too.
Well, I never.
Of all the things.
How dare he?
Right. So is that the context with which this story came to your attention?
That's, I mean, almost
pretty
word
much.
For word.
Pretty much.
How it went down.
All right, I interrupted you. You were trying to say something about Jurassic 2.
Three. Man, see, 2 was so bad you forgot about it.
I think that's the point you were trying to make.
Yeah, okay. I don't, like, look, I know you're out there ready to hype your thing up. Chris Pratt, we all love you.
Love him.
Right? Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, whatever else he's doing, great. Jurassic World, he's great in that too.
Great.
Right? But nobody is thinking Jurassic World is on the same level as Avengers Endgame. Right?
I don't know. I'm going to push back a little bit.
You're going to...
I'm not.
Well, call me up for the moment where they're like going up against the T-Rex and then Sam, what's his name? Dr. Sam Grant.
Right.
On your left.
Right.
And all the original Jurassic Park cast
No. Here's the thing. Here's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I'm not trying to say that Jurassic World is as good as Avengers. But what I am trying to say is Jurassic World, the Jurassic Parks, from the ones that happened after 2006.
Okay.
So in other words, since Penn Cinema first opened its doors in Lititz.
Right.
The Jurassic movies, whichever group you want to talk about, always surprise me at how much people love them.
Okay.
So there, what I'm saying is, you started out your comment by saying nobody is trying to compare Jurassic 3 to Avengers. And all I'm trying to say is somebody is. Like, they're not on the Penn Cinema podcast, but there are people who love this franchise and love this movie and are every bit as excited for Jurassic World 3 as you and I were for Avengers. I'm just going to put that out there because I'm not an idiot. I know these movies are big, and I always put them in our biggest theaters.
Yeah.
But I'm always like taken a little bit back and reminded, like, oh, that's right. These movies are really big, and they bring out audiences love this. They love a dinosaur movie. There's no two ways about it.
Oh, I'll give you that. All right. Fair argument.
So I'm just trying to change the word from nobody to very few people or less common, a minority opinion.
Pen.
David.
Pen. I have literally never exaggerated anything. So I take offense at this.
Okay.
All right, give me something here.
All right, and so then we're saving our big news for the end.
I guess.
Because we haven't gotten any real news yet.
Right.
Gotten a bunch of sort of crap.
Mm, yeah.
Although, it was a lot of fun talking about Jason Blum.
Everyone's favorite guy.
Because I feel like people are going to reference previous episodes where I said how I had a lot of respect for Blumhouse because they always make good horror movies.
They make a lot of movies, and they just happen to make some good ones.
That's exactly right.
Right. So you can't knock them.
Fantasy Island was not one of them.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, I have some studio news.
Yeah.
Because I know that sometimes people appreciate a little bit behind-the-scenes stuff, and, you know, it's all good.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought I came across a headline, and then I went ahead and read the whole article, similar to when you saw your headline. So Netflix, I think... A lot of times I say stuff because you try to categorize stuff. You try to sort of put it in a neat little box and make a statement that explains everything. And have we talked about cognitive dissonance on this show yet?
I don't think so.
You familiar with the concept?
I am, but...
Okay, so cognitive dissonance is, for those of you who aren't, is when your brain knows two things, but those two things can't both be true. So your brain works out a way to tell yourself a story to make it okay.
Right.
It's something that happens unconsciously. And if you're aware of it, you can sort of see it happening and you can sort of, it's kind of cool how it plays out, but it's a thing, right? So
right.
Are we good? We know.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I did to try to resolve, you know, to simplify my opinion on Netflix is I walked around telling people they made a big push on The Irishman and Marriage Story and, Hollywood pushed back and said, we're not giving you a bunch of Oscars for your stupid TV shows, even though you played them in theaters. That was a pretty smug position that I took, a pretty short-sighted, easy sort of, you know, wrap it up like, oh, it's just so simple, isn't it, Penn?
Yeah.
Right. Well, clearly it's not that simple because Netflix, they were like, all right, Penn. Tough guy. Jerk.
We're coming for you.
We're coming for you. And they have doubled down and put together some people that I've dealt with in the past who I have great regard for, great respect for. So now I'll just sort of read you the headline.
Okay.
Netflix gets serious about its theatrical ambitions with two veteran hires. So in other words, they're taking their team that's in charge of theatrical, which includes our friend Lori. And now they're also adding David Schwartz, who's going to oversee Netflix's Paris Theater. Are you familiar with the Paris Theater?
It's
a one-screen New York City theater that Netflix bought. Netflix owns it. And now David Schwartz, who is a renowned film guy in New York City, he's going to be essentially booking what goes in and out of Paris. So that's really an interesting move. And then they hired a guy named Justin D. Pietro, and he's moving to LA. Justin's a New York guy, previously with IFC Films. I dealt with Justin I'm not trying to say we're best friends. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I could send him an email and he would write back, but I'm not saying that we like, you know, pal around.
Right.
We don't hang out together watching Ellen sipping our tea. You know.
Who does?
Right. Besides you and me.
Yeah.
And Kayla.
Two of us. Yeah.
You and me, Kayla on a couch sipping our tea.
All three of us sat up at right. this Chris Pratt thing.
Right. That was crazy. And anyway, Justin's moving to LA and now they're beefing. I guess. It's not that big of a deal, but it's. I think it's gonna. think it's going to end up being a subtle but very big deal over the course of time. So in other words, what this tells me is Netflix, that my opinion about Netflix, my prognostication was entirely wrong, was entirely oversimplified and a little bit of wishful thinking. You know, like, oh, you wish they were going to pack up their toys and go back to streaming. But they seem to be in it, you know, for the long haul, which, you know, whatever. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to continue to try to get their movies. I'll tell you that.
Tune in to Penn Cinema episode 66, where Penn has a rampage about how they moved all these people around and they're doing
something. Stop
it. It's the complete opposite. I can't believe that they're doing this.
Right.
Are you ready for real news?
I have another piece of non-real news that I want to share with our friends. There was some movie news. You know what? Never mind. I'll come back to it. I'll come back to it.
Because I got this some
hit me with some hard-hitting news.
Well, remember how we said there wasn't a lot going on?
Right.
Well, there wasn't.
But there was.
There was. Most of the news out there was people getting cast for stuff or whatever, but set footage, man. It's coming out the wazoo. This is not my thing at all. I'm fascinated about how films are made, but the more I love the magic of film, the less I want to know about what went into making it so magical before I see it.
Right.
This is stuff I'd like to see after I've enjoyed a movie.
Yeah.
But like, it kind of doesn't ruin it, but it just kind of like, I don't know, takes me out a bit. So we got set footage for The Batman. We got set footage for Suicide Squad. For Venom 2, there was a big thing where they're like Carnage's character was getting shot on set. So first look at Carnage was all over the place, but it was just
a guy
Woody
in a
Harrelson
suit.
Just standing there, yeah. And tons of Matrix 4 stuff. Stunts, motorcycle riding, walking down the street because people are in buildings just filming the show,
right.
The movie.
Right.
This stuff is, I'm not saying that it's not interesting.
It's fascinating.
I am saying that to me, it takes me out of the magic of the hype of the film and all that stuff. Because now, if I watch too many of these types of things, then when I watch the movie, I think about what it looked like. And in the first experience of seeing the movie, that takes me out of the story. Later, this is cool to be like, that's how they did it.
Like a behind the scenes on the DVD.
Yeah.
On the VHS.
But It's like a magician saying, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide this card over here. And right. I'm going to flash stuff over here. And while you're not looking, I'm going to mix this in. Right. And look, hey, there's your card.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to do it. Like it kind of.
All right. Well,
do you agree? Do you disagree?
No, I hear you. I'll just put that out there. I hear you. And I strongly agree that I have no interest in like regularly combing the internet for more set footage.
Right.
And in fact, a lot of this set footage I wasn't aware of until I saw the show notes and I went online and looked at it to get ready for the show. The one place that I'll disagree I'm not disagreeing. I'm just looking at it a little bit differently. I watched like the footage of, the footage that really stuck out to me was the Matrix 4 motorcycle riding and Tom Hardy leaning out the window screaming. You saw those clips?
I didn't see Tom Hardy.
Okay, so it's Tom Hardy leaning out the window and they're throwing stuff at him that is obviously going to be CGI'd, you know, but it gives them something to look at, you know, or whatever. And what I thought was similar to what you're saying, except that I just saw it a little bit differently. I thought of it like, oh my God. What a miracle these movies are. I mean, it's unbelievable the footage that they take and then they take it back to the lab, you know, and they bring it out and it's a full-on movie.
And scientists are like, what do we have here?
Right. They got white coats, you know, probably one of them short and elderly and bald.
One of them's always holding a beaker that's right. About to bubble over.
That's exactly what I'm saying, you know. One of them's off the set of Simpsons, you know. But that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, I hear you, you know, and I don't want to, like, regularly watch it because it would totally take away from the magic. But on the other hand, I was kind of thinking to myself, like, these movies that we get to enjoy, it's pretty incredible. It's pretty stunning what they do.
I get it. I guess I'm not saying... I get what you're saying, because I do get that to a degree. Like, when the scene where with Woody Harrelson doing his Carnage thing, like, they're shooting at him, and he just, like, starts waving his arms around. Obviously, they're going to make that, like,
right.
something later. Right. But he just looks ridiculous doing it now. And it's crazy how... That's probably going to look super cool doing that hand motion in the movie, but it looks ridiculous.
It also shows you the vast difference between like a special effects movie and a non-special effects movie. Like if you saw a clip of they're shooting Emma, you know, yeah. that movie that comes out in a couple weeks. If you had seen a clip 6 months ago, you would have seen like a piece of the film.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it would look different because there's editing and there's. I know that there's some you know stuff that happens in the lab, but you know a movie like any one of these four, you know, it's just totally different what they film. You know, a lot of times you couldn't possibly understand what you're seeing unless, like in the Matrix, they happen to be on a motorcycle. But even then, like you don't know what's blowing up or what's chasing them or. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was kind of cool. I wouldn't want to make it a regular thing.
Yeah, I think what I'm getting at is there's so much of it these days. Like some of the reports, I was like, look at this behind-the-scenes footage, and then it was like six clips.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa.
Easy. Whoa,
calm down, jabroni. Come on. All right. You ready to get into trailers?
Let's wrap up that news segment.
All right. Cool. We're going to open news trailers. I realize somehow... I can't remember this one or I didn't watch it. Promising Young Women.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this.
So you probably didn't see it because I put it on there because the studio Focus Features sent me the trailer and the poster, and I think I forwarded the link to you.
I don't know.
Put it on our thing. And
yeah.
Anyway, it stars Carey Mulligan, who we loved in The Great Gatsby across from LDC. And... Did you ever see Far From the Madding Crowd?
No.
It's a period piece, and she was amazing in it. Really good. Both of those movies are dramatically different than the movie that this is. This is Promising Young Woman. This is a revenge flick. And the concept is this gorgeous woman goes to nightclubs and pretends to be debilitatingly drunk, right? And then... inevitably some helpful young man, you know, offers to try to help and of course is trying to take advantage of her. Mm-hmm. At which point she apparently snaps, you know, magically snaps out of it because she's not at all drunk. She's just acting and then inflicts some kind of revenge, which I guess we're going to have to see the movie to find out what she does to these guys. But you see in the trailer that she has like a check, like a tick. What do you call that when you like 1, 2, 3, 4 and then 5?
Yeah.
1, 2, you know, she has like another notch in her notebook. And so this movie wouldn't look great to me, except for two things. Carey Mulligan's amazing and Focus Features.
They usually do good stuff.
They make good movies, you know, so, And also there's the trailer leads you sort of to see some other plot threads that, you know, a little bit her backstory and stuff like that. And I don't know. I think it's a good movie, Promising Young Woman. I agreed to play it. It comes out in April. I'll put it in Theater One. I don't think it's going to make any waves, you know, commercially, but it seems like an interesting film.
I'm interested.
You should watch the trailer. It's an interesting trailer. So it's not a superhero movie, but the trailer and the character were somehow evoked for me the Birds of Prey feeling.
Okay.
The tone, some of the color tones and some of the character. You know, I think that this main character of Promising Young Woman has a lot in common with Harley Quinn.
Okay.
We'll just put it that way.
All right. I think I didn't look it up because I thought it was another trailer I saw earlier this week, which I forgot to put on here, about... It's like, I meant to come back to it. It was, maybe you saw it. It was a woman and her daughter, her husband dies, and then she finds out that he was married before or something, and they wind up taking in
oh, yeah.
the ex-wife and like
Yes.
It's kind of like a weird scenario. Yes. She's like, I wasn't the mistress. Right. I was his wife.
Right.
Like, because they kind of treat her like she was some like backhanded yeah. thing. And
I remember
like,
that, but I can't picture it.
I think
it
I saw it here before. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. I thought I saw it yeah. here. Anyway.
All right.
So here's an interesting one put out by Lionsgate. It's called Run.
Hmm. Is it like a marathon movie?
So you're definitely in.
Yeah. I saw this on the list and I was like, oh, sweet.
Wow.
Boy, was I disappointed.
And it comes out Mother's Day. So it stars Sarah Paulson and some young girl. And the premise here is Sarah Paulson, something happens when she has a child. Maybe she loses it. Maybe not. Kind of ambiguous.
Unclear.
Yep. But now we're down the road and she's got a teenage kid in a wheelchair. And everything's great. And she takes care hand and foot for this child.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. But then the child starts to wonder.
Wait a minute.
Something's up with this mom.
Something's afoot.
Why is she always so hyper into me? Like taking care of me? Is everything okay? And she starts to see like run, like get out, like written on everything. And they kind of allude that maybe it's the medicine mixing with her, or maybe she's not Sarah Paulson's daughter, or I don't know. It's a little tricky.
Creepy, creepy.
Yeah. She goes to look up her mom, and all of a sudden the internet doesn't work.
That was the scariest part.
What?
No internet. This is a horror movie.
Yeah. But how does she get away? Because her legs don't work. That's kind of.
But do they?
Or do they? I don't know.
I'm terrified to watch this movie, but I'm 100% going to watch this movie just to find out if she is or is not actually crippled.
Yeah. It reminded me of the real life story of the mom with Munchausen's who made everyone believe her daughter was dying for years and years and years. And then her daughter got a boyfriend online and they killed the mom and ran away. But she was like mentally stunted to think she was younger or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I forget the name of that, but it was interesting.
All right. Vivarium.
Mm.
Trailer 2.
Yeah.
Imogene Poots and Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
We talked about this trailer recently. I feel like it's a pretty quick turnaround to go from one trailer to trailer 2.
Yeah, I think trailer 2 is more mainstream appeal, though.
Mm.
I don't know if you do. It had a little bit more about... Trailer 1 was very weird and very dark and very, very like creepy. Or trailer one was. Trailer two was more like story added in on top of that.
So a little bit.
You got a little bit more of what's going on and that they're trapped and all that stuff rather than just the creepy stuff. I liked it. I thought it was a good trailer. I'm definitely interested in this movie.
This movie, yes. This movie has the potential to be one of the most interesting movies you've seen in a while.
Yeah. It could be horrible, but...
Well, no, it can't.
No.
It can't be horrible. Jesse Eisenberg... Imogene Poots, they pick good movies.
Right.
And, I mean, obviously I'm teasing. It could be horrible. But I have high hopes for this. I think it has great promise. And again, kind of like the girl in the wheelchair, I'm going to watch this movie. Well, the difference is I'm going to watch this movie for a lot of reasons because it looks like an interesting movie. But I also kind of just want to see, like, what happens. Yeah. Like, he digs the tunnel. Does he ever come out anywhere?
Well, I that was some of the interesting stuff they added to this trailer. He's like digging. He's like, there's got to be a bottom to whatever this place is.
Unless the whole thing's a dream.
Right. But she's like, and he's just like, this is all I can do. Let me do this. Like,
right.
And then they added the flair of like, they have this weird boy that's growing too fast and just like watches them all the time and screams. And,
right.
And, but at the same time, he's like, you're starting to act like you're actually, it's his mother. And so there's these weird things going on. So I'm definitely in for this movie.
Whew. I'm going to watch it with the lights on.
Mm. One movie I'll probably watch with the lights off so I can take a nice nap.
Stop it.
Is this next one.
Stop it. Why, David? Why are you so cold-hearted? Why are you so cynical? Why can't you just enjoy a nice little rated PG, feel-good, country town, comes together?
No, this movie actually looks really touching and fine. It just doesn't look very exciting.
Stop yourself.
Dream Horse.
What?
Dream Horse.
The movie is called Dream Horse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's it about?
It's about a horse named Dream. This town, they're like, we don't got anything going on. What if we all put our money together and we raised a racehorse?
The woman says, I need something in my life to look forward to when I wake up. Mm-hmm. I need a purpose. So the whole town chips in and buys a baby horse.
Yeah.
A baby horse that's intended to be a racehorse. They buy a racehorse.
Right.
But they buy it like, you know, when it's a baby. And I think this movie looks really cute. I think this movie looks, like you said, touching. I'm kind of for it.
You know what? I bet this movie does really well.
They call it, everybody's got to pitch in 10 bucks a week.
Yeah.
But they don't call it 10 bucks. They call it a tenner.
Yeah.
You'll put in a tenner.
Well, that's because it's England and they don't want us Americans to get confused.
I know. I think it's cool. I think it's cool.
Yeah. All right.
Whether or not this movie has any commercial viability remains to be seen. My question about that would be, who's distributing it? When is it being released? How wide? Like, because it doesn't, the lead woman is known, but the rest is, right. Remember that wrestling movie we watched, Fighting With My Family?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To me, this is kind of like a nicer version of that movie.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I feel like if you book this movie, it's going to be one of those ones where, like, people consistently come see. It doesn't sell out.
It'll be a matinee show.
Yeah, but, like, you've constantly got people in here seeing it, you know, 5-6 people a show or whatever. And it just kind of if it's a slow time, it's a reliable bring in.
All right.
Our last one here is The Secret Garden. Oh, so now who wants to snooze? Huh? Ken, why do you gotta be like that? Why can't you just enjoy a good child's happy-go-lucky feel movie where all the colors are real bright and everyone's friends, huh?
You done? Did you finish talking about this movie? Is it over?
This looks fine. I like the colors in it a lot. I thought visually it looked kind of cool. I'm not interested in this story.
I have no problems. I think the movie looks great.
Does it?
My problem, I have a real problem.
What's your problem with Penn?
Here's my problem. I'm going to tell you my problem.
Yeah.
I have a problem. My problem is...
Wait, do you have a problem?
Here's my problem. Here's my, it's a deep-seated underlying, it goes back many, many moons.
Oh.
So, rewind the tape. 1970, let's call it 1976.
Okay.
Call it first grade.
Okay.
Penn is sitting in school. Penn would rather be outside or inside playing with his matchboxes or drawing pictures of dinosaurs and sharks and spaceships, right, blowing up sharks.
Oh, you know, clearly.
All this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Second grade, third grade, it never changes. I never, ever wanted to be in school, ever. Mm. There was 100 things I would rather be doing than sitting in class with somebody trying to tell me stuff. Keeps going like this. Now, fourth grade, fifth grade starts coming, and they start using words like, Penn has great potential. Right? If he could pay attention for more than 30 seconds at a time, he could really pass this class. He could do well. And that never goes away. That never changes. And it's during these periods of times that they do things like, we're all going to read a book called, oh, I don't know, The Secret Garden. Right? And then stupid Chrissy and Alex.
Oh, my gosh.
They're reading these books, and they're coming to class with opinions about them.
Chrissy and Alex?
Yeah. They're the worst.
Oh, my gosh.
They're saying stuff. They have ideas about them. I'm looking around going, who's got the Cliff Notes? You know, what's this movie? Oh, it's about a garden, and nobody knows it's there. That's why they call it secret.
Yeah.
It's like that book we read last year about the women that were little. Right? They're obviously all super short. You know, they didn't eat their Wheaties. I don't know. I didn't read it. In high school, my second junior year, I completed you know those little essay books, those little blue books? We had to read like a certain number of books for English class, and then we had to write a final exam about them.
Yeah.
I filled up an entire essay book by writing large and skipping lines and only writing on one side. I filled up an entire essay book with a preamble to my first book, which I forget what the book was. And then at the end of that preamble, I wrote continued in next book. And then I didn't turn in any other books. I got a B+ on my English exam because the teacher was too afraid to admit that he had lost all the other books that I had obviously submitted. This is my academic career. And this is why my first instinct when I see a perfectly fine movie like Secret Garden, my first instinct is to hate it.
It's too close to learning.
Now, let me go back and say the girls and I went up and saw Little Women up in Reading. And we had a great experience at Don Fox's theater up there outside of one of the malls. And Little Women went on to be one of my favorite movies of the year. I forget where I ranked it, but pretty high. And I loved this movie. So I'm probably going to sit here ho-humming, making a bunch of eye rolls about Secret Garden. And a year from now, we're going to be talking about how it was one of my favorite movies of the year. But that's just how I roll.
Wow.
You want to tell me a movie was based on a book that would that every kid in middle school had a gun to his head to read? I'm not... Turns me off.
I feel like your teacher's reviews are a lot like the reviews for this podcast. Pen could just listen and figure out about it. He could go someplace.
That podcast could be really great. Nah. You know what I read faithfully? My brother's Mad Magazines.
Yeah, there you go.
When are we going to have a Mad Magazine movie? What?
What? At least a movie about how it got made.
Pen at pencinema.com. Why hasn't that been done yet?
Whoa, pen at pencinema.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. Podcast at pencinema.com. Sorry, you thought I was branching out?
I was like, whoa.
No, podcast at pencinema.com. Why has the Mad Magazine movie not been made? Or better yet, has it been made and I'm just too dumb to remember it?
Ooh.
I don't think it has.
I don't think it has. All right, let's move on. What have you been? What's been going on this week at the theater? Anything moving? Anything shaking? And it was kind of an off week.
It was a weird week.
Yeah.
It was a quiet week. There was something interesting in the exhibition world. Well, all right. So back up.
Okay. Hold up.
The thing that was interesting about this weekend was the number one movie.
Oh, what was that?
Obviously, Sonic, right?
I would have thought.
No.
No.
You would have thought wrong.
Well, what was
Bucko?
It? Oh, Call of the Wild.
Harrison Ford
Get
and
out.
Call of the Wild, a solid number one movie.
Get out.
Yeah.
Do people actually walk out like they're liking it?
Loving it.
Get out.
Loving it. And I came in this morning and added shows because when I came in, these were very early in the morning, the shows that had previously been scheduled were already 50, 60% full. I mean, this movie is killing it. Yeah, so Harrison Ford has a winner on his hands.
I would have never in a million years thought.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a solid number two movie behind Sonic.
Wow.
But yeah, Sonic is... No, I mean, Sonic's not failing. It's a solid number two right behind Call of the Wild. I just had him reversed. It's interesting.
Interesting.
And of course, as we alluded to earlier on the show, Blumhouse flopped. Now... What I want to talk about is interesting in the exhibition world because there were some movie theaters across country, about 400 of them. They opened a movie from Turner Media called Impractical Jokers.
Wasn't that a show?
It's a TV show.
Yeah.
So they made a movie.
Oh.
And the studio was literally too small. I called and gave them hell for not having any independent theaters on their release pattern. But they cried and whined and said they were too small to do anything except give it to 400 Regal/AMC movie theaters. But what's interesting is, first of all, I had to get over myself because the movie did real business. So I'm gonna try to get it for next week.
Wow.
Because so I just think that's interesting.
So
like,
is this a practical joke movie?
It's called Impractical Jokers. You got to know the show to sort of understand. I don't know how they turned it into a movie. I feel like it's just a TV show, but it has, obviously, it has a following.
Huh. That's interesting.
It played down at Manor in Lancaster and was their number three movie.
Wow.
Call of the Wild, Sonic, Impractical Jokers.
Practical Jokers.
Yeah. So I was jerked that they refused to include independently owned theaters, but I got over it.
You know what they could say?
What?
Joke's on you.
Joke's on you, yeah. I got your joke right here, buddy.
Hey! All right. Into the movie reviews for this week.
Is it time? Is it just the one review?
No, there's two.
Dos?
Dos removosos.
Dos reviewos.
Reviewos, yeah.
Reviewiosos.
I saw the movie Bad Boys for Life.
How'd you like it?
I thought it was good. I mean, pinky's out. I have a love-hate relationship with the Bad Boys movies. I think that they're fine. I think that they're fun. At the same time, I find them unbelievable, but not in the way you're like, well, David, they're crazy, over-the-top action, unbelievable.
Right.
That's not the part that like takes me out of the movie. The unbelievable part I have is that these two characters are such a tight team, because in every movie, it always seems like, and I know that they're going for the straight man and they're going for the wild guy, right? But it's too much. Like, I don't understand why they would stay a team. Like, because it seems like Will Smith is like the action go-getter crazy guy, right? And Martin Lawrence is just the guy he convinces to come along all the time. Right. He doesn't really actually get guys or like do any of the action, or like he's just like always there.
Right.
So I don't understand in a movie like this one where he's just like, I need you to do this with me.
Right.
Like, you got to do it with me, because it's like, but why? What?
Why do you need
what
him?
What does he do? Like,
you don't need
you
him.
You don't, like, you
maybe
really...
we just unveiled the plot for Bad Boys 4.
Whoa. This, yeah. Bad Boys 4. That's, how was this not 4?
That's
Bad
what
Boys
I'm,
4
I,
Life.
Remember I was hung up on that when we first talked about it?
Now I'm upset about it. I didn't care before. Now I'm upset about it. So...
I want to see this movie. I feel the same way you do. I don't love this franchise, but it's always fun.
Yeah.
I mean, would you say that about this movie? Was it fun?
Yeah. And there were some genuine laughs.
Okay.
Some really great laughs. Like, they get out of they're going to see this guy, and they're like, it's all about rushing to get there, and they have things that hold them up, and they get out of their car, and they're like just walking. They're like, all right, we're gonna go in, and then his body just like falls and crushes their car, and both of them are like, that better have been something else. Like, they both know what it is. They refuse to turn around and see it. It's just a great scene.
Do you think Will Smith is a comic genius?
Yeah.
I do too.
I think he is. One of the things I loved about this movie is that they played it as, and it didn't feel like they were playing it up or playing it down, that it was two old guys making an action movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, we're old, but we're still super bad. Right. It was hey, we're BA, but we're also, like, it hurts to get up. You know, like, hey, we're not, I can't quite run like I used to. And, you know,
that's
that
a good way of putting
stuff.
It. They didn't play it up, but they didn't avoid it either.
Right, yeah, so it's very much like a thing. And I think that the franchise is getting revitalized, and they're doing a Fast and the Furious type.
Yeah.
It's about family thing, and there's just like, you get a key that it's going to keep going. These guys are going to be probably still in it, but not the head honcho action centerpieces.
Yeah.
So anyway, so what did you see?
All right. So I had a window to see a movie.
Right.
I was supposed to see Bad Boys for Life.
Right.
I could not resist watching The Assistant, because it's a little artsy movie. It seemed like it was what can I compare it to? I don't know. I just felt like, oh, this is going to be an important movie, kind of like The Post.
Okay.
Right. It's not going to be The Post.
No.
Spoiler alert.
What?
The movie was awful and amazing for the exact opposite reason that Uncut Gems was awful and amazing. Okay? Remember Uncut Gems? We were like, it was too exhausting.
Yes.
We, like, I think I told the story. I went out to get my coffee, and I, like, lingered in the lobby before I rushed back into Theater 7 to watch the end of it. I watched The Entire Assistant without leaving because it was gripping and I couldn't look away. But it is an incredibly slow movie. So spoiler, I think we're in spoiler zone. Yeah. The entire movie takes place in one day.
So it's 24 hours.
So, the movie's 24 hours. So this, at the beginning of the movie, you see the girl waking up and leaving her apartment and getting in the Uber to take her to the studio where she is the first one in, you know, and obviously the last one out. But she's the new hire. She's the new assistant. And I don't want to exaggerate, but I think it's the first 10 or 15 minutes before there's a single word spoken.
Oh, wow.
So I think the whole script could fit on one page. I know that her whole script could fit on one page.
Wow.
There's not a lot going on in this movie. Now, with that being said, there's an incredible amount going on in this movie. This is one of the most, I think the word that keeps coming to my mind is, it's the most subtle movie I've ever seen in my life. Her acting is unbelievable. There's no screaming. There's no sobbing. There's no sort of, you know, how they make the joke, like there's no Oscar moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But her acting from the beginning to the end is so subtle and sublime. I mean, it's just absolutely brilliant. And there's a scene where she's talking to an HR guy and he's sort of blocking her, you know, a little bit of giving her a little bit of a stonewall. And, the frustration, the anger, the realization that she's stuck in this shitty little, you know, situation. She somehow, this actress somehow manages to portray all of it. And I know she was in, I forget her name. She was in that show with Jason Bateman. I think The Ozarks. Anyway, if you appreciate subtle movies and if you appreciate amazing acting, then you should go see this movie. Mm. It's really, really good, but it's also like you got to be focused.
Right.
And the one interesting thing about it is that the bad guy, the sexual harasser, you never see him.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. You hear his voice over the phone and you hear his voice through closed doors, but every time she opens the door to go bring him coffee or bring her, you know, deliver papers or whatever she does in the course of her incredibly long day, you never see him. As soon as she opens the door, the camera cuts to another scene. So one last little comment. That's pretty much all I have to say about the movie as a movie. But I will say from a personal note, it was shot in, not Soho, it was shot down near where Weinstein's office used to be.
Oh, okay.
And in that neighborhood. And I've been to that neighborhood. I've been to screenings in that neighborhood. And it was really interesting to me to... Now, she was an assistant to a studio guy. And that's not the people that I deal with. But they were talking the same language that we talk. You know, they were talking about grosses. They were talking about branches. They were talking about, you know, kind of different, some similar languages, getting stuff booked, trade screenings, you know, that type of stuff. And it was kind of neat for me, like, you know, you're in a certain profession and it's kind of neat to see your profession in a movie. You know what I mean? If you're a driver, it's neat watching a, you know, a movie about a UPS guy. So I just thought that on a personal note, that was kind of interesting to me to see that. But yeah, I thought this movie was really great. It's not at all doing well commercially. We'll hold it over for a second week, pretty much just because you have to, and then it'll go away. Hmm. So that's my review of The Assistant.
Interesting. Well, you make me want to see it a little bit more.
Yeah, I would. So, I would.
Yeah, very cool. All right, so moving on to listener notes, questions, answers, and epiphanies.
Oh, epiphanies. I didn't know we could write in with epiphanies.
Well,
can I write in?
Yeah, I would hope you... Okay. As long as you make it clear that it's Ken Petrum.
No relation.
No relation.
Like that great line in Forrest Gump when he's, we are not of relations.
Exactly.
Are you two twins?
All right. Mystery Gobble. Well, explain this one to me.
This was great. Yeah. This email had me laughing out loud. So we talked about him last week, right?
Yeah.
He wrote in and said how the podcast, I thought we were clear because I understood it correctly. Okay. But I maybe we reported it like it got lost in translation. But okay. He had sent in an email basically saying, hey, I listened to this audiobook And it was so freaking long that I felt bad about complaining about how long your podcast is.
Right.
Because compared to this book, your podcast is a blink of an eye.
Right.
Apparently, we somehow screwed that up in reporting on his note, which I'm sure is entirely on me. But nonetheless, we apparently somehow got it wrong. So he wrote in again, more second time, to correct us.
Yeah.
It was not that he had any regret. It was that he was sorry for making fun of our long running times. But the part that had me LOLing was at the end of his email said, it was not one of regret. My regret was listening to this damn podcast in the first place. It's absolutely brilliant.
So
true. I laughed out loud. So thank you, Gobble, for sending that in. I had the pleasure of seeing the Mystery Gobble this weekend.
What?
Yeah, sat with him at the Warwick Community Talent Show.
Whoa.
It was a good time.
Did he put on any talents?
I would like to say that he did, but I'm sorry, he did not. This is funny because it's a talent show that high school kids do, right. They put on. So not just high school kids, middle school, littler, little kids. But it's open to the entire community. So I think next year, me and the Gobble, and we were sitting next to OG, me and OG and Mystery Gobble should all get up there and do like a little routine, a little dance routine.
I will come to see that.
All right, what do you got? Oh, we have a winner.
We do.
So big time.
Our new winner. And unfortunately, it's
winner,
not,
winner, chicken dinner.
It's not Roland who put in so much work looking for the answer to this question.
But I have some exciting news.
Oh.
It just hot off the presses.
Okay.
We have a consolation prize for Roland.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. We do.
Okay. Well, that's the winner of Home Depot on the back. And where does it come from? It's Joelicious. Joel Codes Cornette. He says Home Depot on the back is from She's Out of My League. And the quote that we didn't want to say was
done and done.
Yeah, so the
after that movie came out, nothing in Penn Cinema was communicated without the person on the receiving end saying, done and done.
Done and done.
And of course, it's only applicable to say that quote before you do it.
Right. And bonus points if you pick up a wrench.
Right. Yeah. A gigantic wrench, as long as your arm.
Yeah. So congrats to Joel for winning. Did you get in touch with him yet?
No.
Okay.
No. We'll get in touch with him. What did he win, David?
I think tickets. It was tickets.
Two for the IMAX.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, so Joelicious Joel Codes wins himself a pair of passes, which we should say IMAX passes, regular Penn Cinema passes are not valid for use in IMAX. Mm. But if you win a pair of IMAX passes and you want to use them in regular Penn Cinema, we will. They do go that way.
Okay.
Now, consolation prize.
Yeah.
I was so impressed. As a consolation prize, we have a pair of IMAX tickets available for Roland Smoker with his name on them. So congrats to him and to Joelicious.
he sent me a message the other day. He's like, I'm going to go all the way back to episode 34, and I don't know if I missed it, but I don't get it.
Oh, my God.
So much time. So, all right. That concludes our notes for this week, but what have you been reading, watching, doing outside of the theater? Because I feel like you've been up to some stuff.
Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
I just want you to know.
This is sincere. Okay, this is a secret. Don't tell anyone.
No, not a secret. This is sincere.
Sincere?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if this is going to please you or make you hate me. You gave me a copy of Dune.
Uh-huh.
And I have it on my little table where I keep my books that I'm reading.
Yeah, right.
Not a single day goes by that I don't think to myself, you know what I should do? I should go start Dune. Not one single day goes by that I don't think to myself, I should go start Dune.
But many single days go by where you don't start Dune.
Multiple single days have gone by. Okay, so with that being said, I did start watching, but I just started it and ran out of time. You know, I have a handicap because I can't watch any movie with threats of violence. I can't watch it in my bedroom when Amy's around.
Oh.
Because just knowing that it's on TV.
You don't want to get her to get any ideas.
She gets stressed out.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Well, God, that goes without saying, right? So I was watching The Last Thing He Ever Wanted.
Okay.
Which stars Anne Hathaway. This is a new Netflix movie.
Oh.
Really good. I'm about halfway, maybe 40% of the way in. Not quite halfway. I can't wait to watch the rest of it this afternoon. And it's so far from what I've seen, it's really good. Willem Dafoe is in it. He plays her father. I think I have that right. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm watching that. I'm also watched an older documentary about how screwed up the health or the food industry is called Fed Up.
I've heard about that.
This is a pretty startling, disturbing movie. I don't recommend it unless you're really interested in this topic.
Right. Unless you're so vegan that you can go without the meat and it doesn't bother you.
Well, it's interesting. This is not a vegan related. This is a all the bad decisions that we are all making are the result of our government's unwillingness to take on the food industry. It has nothing to do with vegans.
Okay.
It's all about sugar and corn syrup and corn and subsidies and all this kind of stuff.
Okay.
It's fascinating and disturbing.
At the same time.
Yes. What about you? I'm sure you have something more interesting.
Oh, my word.
Oh, but I do.
I've been reading, I'm going to say this wrong, Tiamat's Wrath.
Tiamat's
Wrath. By James S. A. Corey. It is the final, well, not the last, but it's the last currently written book in the Expanse series.
Oh, nice.
So I think book 9, which is supposed to be the last one, might come out this year. All I know is this book is great. The series has been great. I'm loving it. If you're not familiar with the Expanse, it's really good. I hear the show is really good, which I'll probably dip into after this. But I'm just amazed at how consistent these books are, just over the top great.
You know, we should start.
What's that?
We should end our episodes with a question for our listeners.
Ooh. Okay.
And then take their feedback and review, like, you know, so the question of the week would be, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then we can report next week on what our listeners said. So I feel like you're well prepared to kick us off this week with our newest segment, What Should I Do?
What should I do? Okay, here's the thing. This came up to me today, this week. It was a recommendation.
Because I have the same question.
Yeah, okay. Should I watch Deadwood?
Should I watch Deadwood?
Should we watch Deadwood? That's the question. I know there's a movie that just came out for it on HBO.
Really?
Yeah. Like okay. The series ended a while ago, and then they made a movie. So this comes recommended.
Speaking of HBO, okay, so our question of the week is, what should we do with Deadwood?
Yeah, should we watch it?
Do we need to get into this?
Yeah, is it time? How many seasons of it are there?
I think it's over, right?
Right, but how many?
Yeah, I don't know.
If we're committing, how much are we committing to?
We're in.
Right.
You know what piece of news we didn't discuss?
What's that?
The massive full-on Friends reunion on HBO. Shout out to Kayla. Yeah, and Marley Bear. I know my fam's going to be excited for this.
All up ons.
All right.
Cool. So what are we doing next week? I think the answer is clear.
Watching Deadwood?
You can see right through it.
Oh.
And it's the Invisible Man.
He's standing right next to you. I can't wait to see this.
That is this week, right?
It is. Invisible Man opens this week. And it's Invisible Man, I think, will be number one. And I think Call of the Wild stays as number two because of its strong audience reviews.
Okay.
But Invisible Man is the only new movie opening.
And we got to see it.
Dope. And then the following week is Emma. The big movie will be Onward, but we're getting Emma on March 6th.
I heard preliminary things about Onward is that it's solid, but it doesn't have the magic.
Stop it. You don't know. Now you're a magician?
Yeah. Let me show you my tricks.
Wizard David.
It's Warlock.
All right.
You want to get in touch with us, the best way you can do is podcast@penncinema.com. Send us your questions, answers, epiphanies, what you think we should do with Deadwood. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/thePennCinemaPodcast. The number one way you can help support us, tell a friend. Hit them up. Say, hey, you think you know about movies? These guys don't. Why don't you write them an email and tell them?
They desperately need your help. And with if they apply themselves, they have great potential.
Exactly. Exactly. So once more for the Potential Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.